Good day, everybody. Connor with Honor, March 16th, 2024. Good day. This is your real estate update. Also, around the 6 to 7 minute mark, and I'll establish that and post something about right here to show you exactly when that's going to happen. That's when I'll break into the fasting and the fat protocol and the muscle building protocol and talk about that today. So as far as real estate goes, Saturday is usually the day of the week when agents start to publicize open houses as being held open. It's a very common thing in real estate. When I first started back in 1998, open houses were typically held on Sunday, usually in the afternoon, usually sometime between 12 and maybe 3 or 4 p.m. Today, these days, it's really done more strategically in a way. In addition to that, let me explain strategically. Sometimes if the house, let's say, is near a shopping center where maybe at a particular time of day, people flock over there to do something. Maybe it's around noontime and maybe people go to this particular shopping center because it happens to have the only lunch in the area. So that being the case, there happens to be a residence that an agent lists nearby, or maybe even on purpose, and I've done this, they actually go and they try to find people that want to sell their residences in particular neighborhoods because of what I'm about to speak about. So what happens is the agent lists this property. So what he does is 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, when noon, around 12 o'clock, and the traffic starts increasing about 11, dies down about 1 o'clock, he makes sure that he has his signs everywhere and that residence is being shown as being held open 5 days a week. You can generate a ton of business and referrals from that particular model. Going out there and looking for residential real estate, understand that as a home buyer, you should protect yourself in a way and know that, in fact, when you do go to these open houses, sometimes, and this is an ethical issue, but sometimes the residence is very close to having an offer accepted, if not in escrow. Realistically, the house is no longer available for sale. Now, of course, they will fall back and people will say, well, yes, but people still offer their houses for sale, even when they're under contract, because buyers can go and still look and potentially, maybe, hopefully not, but that particular buyer they have in escrow might fall out. And if that's the case, we already have done our due diligence and we can thereby write an educated offer. But I've never seen anybody write an offer at that point. They still want to go look at the residence again, of course. And as anybody would, right? That's not a bad thing, just the way it is. But from that particular point, you have that protective mechanism that should be in place for all agents out there representing clients. When you do go into an open house, there are certain things that you might be asked to comply with. One of them might be show some form of identification. This I haven't really seen in the Southern California venue, but I have heard of it happening. And that is the seller's right. If there is no way to identify somebody, that could be, I guess I should say, not an attorney, that could be the seller's right to be able to maybe enforce that and say, listen, if you do want access to my open house, you have to provide me your information, personal information. Something a little bit less aggressive, more subtle, is going to be maybe an agent saying, hey, would you mind signing on this particular sheet? The seller wants to know who's coming in. And maybe if you wouldn't mind, I'll call you and get some kind of feedback later, because it's really important to my seller what people think about the residence and maybe why you are going to or not going to write an offer if you happen to be interested in purchasing real estate. Something very simple like that. I don't think that's offensive at all. In fact, when people approach me that way, trying to sell me something or trying to get my personal information, I very much appreciate it when they're totally upfront in that particular regard. Okay, so now I'm going to go ahead and go run over to the Southland Regional Association. And in doing so, that's a little bit better. And in doing so, what I'll do is see what that actual inventory is today. With regard to real estate and what's happening lately in Santa Clarita Valley and Greater Los Angeles cities, we are still definitely in a seller's market, meaning the sellers are in a very strong position where there aren't very many of them, so they're a little rare. In addition to that, in this particular market, there are a lot of buyers looking to purchase real estate. And then the next phrase usually is, even with interest rates so high, historically, it's not really high in comparative to those times when my parents bought, and depending on your age, maybe when your parents bought. But even when I first purchased real estate, it was 12, 13%. That's just the way it happened to be back in the mid-90s-esque, I believe. In addition to that, there was no way to purchase a residence with less than 20% down. And at least if there was back in the mid-90s, I was not made aware of it. And the agent that screwed me did not inform me that being the case, nor did their lender. So there's all of that unpacked. So as far as real estate inventory today, let me cover that and I'll get into the fat portion of the show. And let me pull this up so I have it under saved searches. And what I did is I ran all of the Santa Clarita Valley cities. And we've been monitoring this. Yesterday, I believe we're in the 330s, 333s maybe. Right now, March 16th, 7:25 a.m., we're at 347 active listings on the market for sale in Santa Clarita Valley. Of that 347, 16 of those are coming soon, and there's a boatload of open houses out there this weekend as well. Be wary, be careful. Let me know if I can help you. You can find me online at connorwithhonor.com. We're coming up on the 7 minute mark. We're going to go ahead and call that. We're going to jump into the fat burning segment. So thanks for watching. Over and out. All right, we're here with fat burning, the fat burning segment of the show. About the 7 minute mark is where we're starting this. So if you're looking for that particular spot, you're in a perfect place. What I've been doing, if you've been watching the last few days, is I've been doing a fast regimen. Was able to put on 50 pounds, not hard, able to do that, and now we're going to take it off. Now, I don't know how much of that is actual muscle because I do lift quite frequently and quite heavy. We'll see how that plays into it, but I'll know when I get closer. But at least this is a good fat torching segment. So what I did is I started this past Sunday, so today's Saturday morning, so it's going to be just about 6 full days of this. Dropped in just around 15, excuse me, 20 pounds. And then what I did is I had a little bit of an indulgence yesterday. So basically I had carbohydrates in the form of sweet potatoes and some rice. And believe it or not, that bulked me up about 5 pounds. So I'm sitting from the 285 mark at about the 270 mark this morning, and I was 265 yesterday. So what I'll do is I'll have a couple protein refeed days today and tomorrow. Nothing crazy, maybe a one meal, maybe a two meal a day. And then I will move into another dry fast, potentially starting Monday. Now, with dry fasting, there's something that you should consider. What I like about it, and again, you need to check with your medical doctor, but what I really like about it is how fast it moves you from being a sugar burner, getting you through this critical stage, meaning you're now switching from burning sugar and carbohydrates to body fat. To make that switch over or to get into ketosis, as it's also known, does take the body having depleted the glycogen, the sugar that's stored in your liver, about 2,000, 2,500 calories. It depends on the liver and the person, but that's about it. Once you burn through that in your regular energy expenditure, however you do it, by just sitting around, sitting on the couch, going for a walk, working out, however it is you've started to move your lifestyle towards to be somewhat healthier. And again, this is kind of understanding the more muscle you have on your body, the older you get, the better off you're going to be. So that's something that's talked about. But moving through this weekend, then after I get through, a couple protein days, I'll dry fast. But it does close that door quickly. So within a day, within 20 hours of not drinking liquid, I have already moved into ketosis. Now, it's also because primarily I eat that way. I try to eat things that don't have a lot of sugar, a lot of carbs, because when I do, I really do it well. I still do large portions in that way when I am doing that. But the biggest difference is I don't do that, but very infrequently. Very rare do I actually go and I have proportions of that nature, because I know that's reminiscent of why I was so fat for so long, for so many years in my life. And actually, a lot of those years, well, the younger years, you know, when you're so fat, it's really difficult. Thank God I was able to get a handle on it. And you very well can too. It's just going to come down to the way you decide to do it, how you commit to it. And then also, if you do mess it up, what is your reaction like? That's something that we should talk about. Some people, when they screw something up, they get completely upset and totally flip out. You might be one of those people or know those people. I remember golfing with a particular gentleman that I was a police officer with, and we're on the golf course, and every time he would miss, I thought for sure he was going to break that golf club around a tree or throw it into the street. He just lost his mind whenever he missed a shot or whenever the shot in golf didn't go the way he wanted. Most amazing thing I've ever seen. And what was amazing about it is it was the same on the first hole as it was the 18th hole. It was identical. So if you react to screwing things up like that, potentially you're going to keep crescendoing into continuing that bad behavior or whatever it is that got you to do what you did and whatever that what you're doing is, whether it's eating too much, whether now you're sitting in drive-thrus again, you know, sucking down tacos and milkshakes in the supermarket, maybe thinking that fruit's good for you and pounded down a few bags of grapes or cherries. Yeah, let's watch out here. We know fruit, if we go back, the longer we've been evolving or created or whatever, we were very much used to having sweets, but not like today. We had it in the form of fruit, maybe, depending on where we live, but it was definitely very rare. And when they found it, I'm sure they ate it until it was gone, because that's also a very human trait. But you need to be careful because you have more of a frontal lobe potentially than a lot of them did back in the day. So again, consider that when you're out there about to break something. Or are you the type, here's another one, are you the type that is able to recover quickly? Those are the people that succeed. And if you're not that way, then you need to become that way. You need to become that person that is able to screw something up, but then jump back on the horse and continue your process. If you're able to do that, and then from there you equate that to having more good time than bad time, then you've just solved the riddle and you are able to get to the best shape of your life. And you'll be able to do it consistently and you'll be able to stay there. And then you'll be able to play these cool little games and say, hey, I'm going to put on a little bit to take off a little bit and see what that's like. Because also, when you're really lean, the fasting is very detrimental because you don't have any stored body fat on your frame to burn. I know you're like, wow, how many people are like that? Not very many. But if you happen to get there, that point, and you start to want to fast because fasting has a lot of other benefits, like mitochondrial healing, all sorts of cool stuff. If you want to get into that frame of mind, then you go ahead and do that, but you're going to want to put on a little bit of weight before you do. Something to consider. I hope everybody has enjoyed today's show. We will be back tomorrow as we do every day. I'm Connor with Honor. I appreciate you watching, and we will be back very soon. Take care, everybody. Over and out.